Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Bob Getty back with Kelly Santer. Andrew Abbedy's back in the studio. Have you missed us, Santer? We've all been gone for a while.
Yeah, the studio's good and full today, and our guest is in studio as well.
Yeah, and we're happy to have former head football coach Jay Hobson. He's going to be joining us here momentarily, as we broadcast from the Southern Bank Corps studio here in Oak Grove. Opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great supporters of our program and the athletic department as well. Andrew Abbedy will catch us up on all the baseball news as more people begin to hit the draft board. We're going to be talking about all of that a little later in the show. But first, as I mentioned, we're delighted to have former head football coach Jay Hobson in the studio with us. And well, this is a treat, Coach. We're really glad to have you here.
Bob, glad to be here. It's a treat for me, too. Appreciate y'all asking me.
Coach, you did Kelly, tell me I'm wrong. I think he's the most underrated coach that's ever been here. You were here 4 seasons, Coach, 4 winning seasons, 3 bowl games, left after the first game in 2020. I want to take you back. I know you had some good times here.
Right.
As I say, you won every season that you were here. Surprised a lot of us when you left. Can you look back and kind of summarize what made you make that decision?
Well, there was a lot of – I'm going to take the high road on this one, Bob.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, look, we probably don't have enough time in the show for that answer, but I think administrative, we just had differences, and I think they came to a head, and I think that was something that – it was probably a 2 or 3 year long struggle. And I think it was pretty mutual by both parties. I think I don't know how much longer they really wanted me around at that point. And at the end of the day, it was one of those deals that it was very tough for me. But again, Southern Miss is a place that I dearly loved. And you mentioned 4 seasons, but also, you know, I was here 10 total,
correct,
with Coach Bauer, 10 winning seasons, and just a lot of wonderful moments. I've dedicated most of my years in college football to Southern Miss, so it was a blessed time in my life, and I just can't thank the fans, the alumni, and most importantly the players that played for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just the privilege of that honor, and just blessed to be here for that long.
You know, you played at Ole Miss, but I've always thought this, and I asked you about this before we went on the air. You always struck me as being a Southern Miss guy.
Well, everybody, I've heard that a million times probably in my life, and I actually was really coming to Southern Miss. Big Nasty recruited me out of high school, and that's it was coming down between Southern Miss and Mississippi State, and I put it in the Clarion Ledger that I was going to one of those two schools. And Big Nasty, Dyer Carlisle was a secondary coach here, and Dyer just did a tremendous job recruiting me. He would meet me and take me to lunch, and he I was in love with him. So I think I was headed this way, and my dad, he went to school at Ole Miss, and this is a lesson I learned that paid off in the coaching world. I always asked parents, well, where'd you go to school when I was recruiting a kid? And I knew I was climbing an uphill battle if the parent went to another school, but my dad had gone to Ole Miss, and then after I announced that I was going to Southern Miss or Mississippi State, Billy Brewer called and got my dad on the phone, and 30 minutes later I was committed. So it was a but I love them all, and I've been blessed now to coach for them all. So it's been a great run in Mississippi.
It isn't unusual, Coach Hobson, for coaches to come and go, obviously, but it is kind of odd that it happened one game into the season. I'm sure if you have any regrets, that, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I'm guessing that was a really tough.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it was. It was tough, super, but it was also. It was also kind of a. It was a 3-year mutual deal that they kind of wanted. I felt at that point too, they were kind of wanting me out, and it was a 3-year struggle. And again, there was administrative differences, and there was coach, and there was different. We thought things should be happening different, and at the end of the day, it was one of those deals where we just came to a mutual agreement that it would be best for me to leave. And I think the administration was happy, and to be honest with you, I think I was probably happy to get out of that struggle for 3 years. So I think it wound up being a move that I think we settled on terms that were fine with both of us, and I think at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is.
You really, as a human being though too, that was a rough time for you in the sense that very close period of time you lost both of your parents.
Well, just my dad.
Your dad.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought that the turmoil of all that added on top of that might have been part of what broke the camel's back.
No, it was more of a 3-year battle. And again, I think I think it was mutual. I think the administrator wanted me out, and it was a battle that I just, you know, felt like was not fair to the players, the coaches, or anybody else to continue that battle. And right, wrong, or indifferent, whether that's true or not, that's the way I see it in my eyes. And we just mutually parted, and you know, it is what it is.
Jay, how do you, I guess, maybe look back now at your time at Southern Miss? Of course, you had the successful years as an assistant, and then, you know, on the field, I think a lot of coaches would be call it a good day.
Right.
How do you kind of look back on it now?
Finally, like I said, 10, you know, like code was such an upside down that year, but 10 years of winning football, and I was blessed to work for Jeff Bauer. You know, Coach Bauer was a huge influence for me. I was an assistant coach for him, and I was a defensive coordinator for him. And I always said, if you cut Jay Hobson open half and half, I'm probably half Bob Pruitt, half Jeff Bauer. You know, those are the two guys that had the biggest influence on me in coaching, and just so many things that I learned from Coach Bauer and Coach Pruitt. They basically molded me as a football coach. And so again, I look back at my Southern Miss years with nothing but just warmth and fondness, and a lot of great players that I was fortunate enough to coach, a lot of great years, a lot of fun times.
You're a high school administrator now these days.
That's right.
And out of, knock on wood, out of coaching, I guess, or maybe not knock on wood, you never know. But will you finally go back to a game as a fan?
You know what? I will. I actually, you know, having coached for so long in college football, you know, you're just worried about your team. But I will come back for sure to, you know, and I've been blessed to coach at 5 universities in Mississippi, you know, so I'm kind of, you know, I have fond memories of all the universities in Mississippi. And I feel like it's I'm blessed to have that, being a Mississippi boy, and I love this state to my core. Again, I'll try to catch some games. Probably from a lot of different universities, you know, and I've got former players that are coaching now, so that makes it fun. I get to go watch them play, but also there'll be some Saturday mornings that I'll just sleep in too, and I'll watch it on TV.
And there isn't probably anything you haven't done, Coach Hobson, you know, from a football coaching standpoint, but now with the evolution of the game, you've got your years in. Wouldn't be unusual at all just to go to the house, but with transfer portal and NIL and all that, would that have been enough in and of itself to push you out?
Well, you know, it's the new world. I think if you're going to coach, I think you've got to adapt to that. Now, it has changed. I spent a lot of my life coaching in the G5, and it has changed, you know, G5 football to a degree, because, you know, you looked at the NFL draft last year. It was almost all Power 4 football players. I think we had one player in the Sun Belt drafted, you know. So what's happening is these kids are starting to see that they've got to you know, they're moving up to the Power Four league. So it is tough in the G5 to coach, because if your player is a good football player, it's hard to hold on to him past Christmas. You know, if he goes out there and has a good season, because now those Power Four programs are coming for him. And, you know, it just is what it is in college football today. I've always said, kind of comically, we're going back to 1969 or 70. That's kind of where we're headed, back in the old days. Everybody talks about when Bear Bryant can sign 250 guys. But we're going back to an era where there's 105 scholarships this year. Last year there was just 85 scholarships. So now that's 20 more scholarships that these P4 schools each program gets this year. So you're seeing a turn in college football right now. Now where it ends up or where it goes to, Kelly, we'll see.
We're talking to our former head football coach Jay Hobson. Going to continue our conversation with the coach on the other side of the break. As we head to the break, let us remind you about Mobe Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. You can check out their Facebook page and find out what the topping of the month is. Also, MCS Home Center in Bellevue, 7329 U.S. 98 West in Hattiesburg, where Kelly goes to get all his weekend warrior supplies. You're constantly working, aren't you, Santa?
Well, Ernesto makes a list for me.
Oh, Ernesto, I see.
Yeah, I go get it for
him.
Okay.
All right. MCS Home Center, they're out on U.S. 98 in Bellevue. It is a great facility. Everything for your home, for your lawn, for your garden. Rebuilding, remodeling, they've got it. MCS Home Center. More with Coach Jay Hobson next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Don't forget about our podcast. Thousands of you tune in every month on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio. And this segment of the program is sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Harley Street. Busy with former head football coach Jay Hobson. Coach, I don't know that anyone knows Southern Miss football any better than you do. You were obviously the head coach here. You coached for Jeff Bauer. You knew Big Nasty. I mean,
you, a GA for Curly too, Holman.
Right. So you know all the icons. Right. You know it backwards and forwards. What is it going to take for Southern Miss football to get back to where it was? And in today's environment, is that job harder than it might have been 5-6 years ago?
Well, I definitely think with the conference and the Sun Belt, Southern Miss will be a contender every year. I really do. I think Coach Huff will do a great job here. I think the thing that's getting tough on the national framework is the Power Four is really taking a lot. You know, at Southern Miss, when we were here, we always prided ourselves on beating, you know, LSU or beating Georgia or beating. And I had, you know, when we beat Kentucky, that was a huge win. That was something that we, you know, I was blessed here as a defense coordinator. We beat NC State as an assistant. We beat Illinois, they're the Big Ten champs, and we beat Oklahoma State. But what happens is, you know, nowadays it's getting tougher to do that because, you know, not only the 105 scholarship limit where now the Power Four, you know, we talked about 60 Power Four programs, 20 more scholarships. That's 1,200 players that they get that used to play in the G5. So that's a lot of players that we had when we went to play those guys. So I think it's going to be tougher to be on that Power Four platform, you know, where you go in there. And, you know, we should have beat Kentucky twice a few years ago. And we had, I still say, if they don't call back Tim Jones' touchdown on the slant and we played Auburn in 18, that we're going to be 21-21. And that's going to be a, who knows who's going to win that. And don't get me started on the Tennessee game, because I was so high fired up with that game. I might choke somebody in that way. But in all those games, you felt like we can beat these guys. You know, felt like we can beat, I think the G5, not just Southern Miss, but I think for the G5, the canyon is getting a little bit further apart now, and I think it's going to get harder and harder for the G5 programs to really compete in that Power Four. You know, last year I think there was two wins by the G5. Maybe there was another one, but the ones that I know was the Northern Illinois and the Toledo win. But I think that's, you know, that's two, and that's not. And there used to be 10 or 15 or 20.
Right, right.
So I think what's happening, you're seeing that canyon separate between the P4 and the G5, but you never know. Football's football. You still got to hold on to the ball. You got to block and tackle. So, you know, there's still – you'll see, but I do think this the game is kind of leaning more toward the Power Four right
do
now.
Do you think that we're going to eventually see a split?
Yes, I do. I, of course, I'm not a genie. I can't predict, but I think in three or four years, I think there could possibly be a split.
When people talk about the salaries, the huge salaries that a lot of college head football coaches make, but one of the things that people don't talk a lot about is how tough your profession is on family life in many families. Mm-hmm. And the one consistent piece of feedback that wives of football coaches say, and I'm not saying you're in this boat, but is that they say it is so hard because their husband, whoever it might be, has not exhibited an ability to leave his work at the office, and when he brings his work home, it is so difficult on the entire family. And I just want you to comment on that, Jack, because that's something a lot of people don't ever think about.
It's true, and God bless all the coaches' wives out there. They really do put up with a lot. They get moved all over the country. Their coaches, you know, their husbands, sometimes their attitudes and their moods swing sometime with how the team's doing, and of course it's their job, you know, and they're responsible for taking care of their family. So, you know, as a coach, you don't go home with a clear mind. I mean, you're always thinking, and you're thinking when you leave the office at 10 p.m. or whenever you leave, you're thinking, and you wake up in the middle of the night sometimes thinking about how am I going to stop this, or this play can attack this front better. And you're constantly – you're never off. And those are the things that, of course, you're home, but you're not home a lot. And those coaches that can turn it off, they're special. And, I would advise – most coaches to do the best job they can of turn it off when you're with your family and then turn it back on. But I wish I could have been one of those guys, because I didn't have that ability. I was always thinking about something. But, again, it's tough for the wives. It really is. They have a tough life. Being a coach's wife, and I love my wife to death, and she's let me carry all of God's creation, and she's been through a lot, and I just appreciate her and her standing by me through all the stuff.
And one other question I had for you is that when people have said many times to go into a profession to where your success is predicated on the success of a bunch of 18 to 21-year-old kids, you'd have to have your head examined. Why did you want to get into coaching initially?
I think developing young men. And it sounds good. Everybody's like, yeah, but, you know, winning is a drug, or competing is a drug. So you love the competition. But now that I'm an older coach, it's easier to see it clearer as you get older. When one of your former players calls you and tells you, coach, the family's doing good, I love you, you know, and how we're doing, and we're laughing about old times, back in the old coaching days and things that – you know, we did during practice. That's when as you get older, you realize, oh, that's what it was all about. You know, it wasn't about necessarily that win or that championship. And I think, and when you're in your 30s and you got a 2-year-old, and it's hard to see, because, you know, I got to take care of my family, you know, and we've got to win some games. But when you get older, you realize that, it was a blessing that God gave you the profession. I always said I was able to – the ministry came to my profession – which was easy. And I thank the good Lord for allowing the ministry to come to. I mean, it was easy because I had my kids, I was coaching them, and I was able to do what I could and do my ministry toward them as a football coach. I admire the people that have a job and then they go to the shelter at 6 o'clock or they do something. They go out and, you know, go put in the extra time and go help the community and do things like that. But I was blessed to be a football coach, and it was a wonderful ride and 33 years and or 30, whatever it is. And just had a lot of great kids, and I appreciate them letting me coach them.
Two questions for you, kind of a two-parter. One thing in your head coaching stint here, what's one thing you would have changed? And then also, what's assuming the great coaching staff these days are listening, what's your one piece of advice for Coach Huff and company?
Well, Coach Huff's already proven he's a great coach. I don't think he needs my advice on anything. But I think there's a few games. Like, we were one game away in 17, 18, and 19 from winning the title. So I think the one thing, there's probably three things I don't want to change. I want to go back to that one game, and I want to make a different call at a certain time. So that's probably the three things. That's probably what I think about the most. You know, I think about in 17, we were beating North Texas at halftime. And there were some things defensively I felt we could have done in the second half that would have made it, you know, they kind of got on fire in the third quarter, and that kind of cost us. And then in 18, a crazy scenario happened. And I think about this one a lot now. We're playing UAB in Birmingham, and it's tied up 20-20. And we get to about the 35-yard line, but our place kicker has pulled his groin. So they come to me. Our special teams coach came to me, and he's like, "Coach, he's pulled his groin. He can't kick it that far." And I'm like, "Come on. You know, is he sure?" And he's like, "No, he can't do it." So we basically throw four verts in the end zone to try to get a – kind of like Alabama did versus Georgia in the national championship, and they got picked off. But sometimes I think about, you know, maybe a quicker pass and just see if he can maybe kick it 49 or 48. It was like he can't kick it at all, but maybe I said, "Can you get it 48?" And then at Tech, we were beating Tech pretty good in the second quarter. And our two-minute defense, we had some calls in our two-minute defense in that second quarter, which allowed them to get back into the game. And they pulled within, like, seven of us at half, where we were up by, like, 17, or I can't remember, 14 or 21. And they pulled back, and they wound up beating us in the second half. So those are situations at Southern Miss that I go back and think, man, we should have done that, could have done that. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of other times where, you know, it could have gone the other way too. So you just feel like, hey.
So it's true. Coaches think about losses. They don't think about wins, but
that's right. No doubt. They always say that, hey, just winning is just a relief. It's not a joy. They think about losses much more. And there's probably nothing worse than for a coach on a Sunday after a loss. You know, that's probably the worst day there is for a coach because you sit up all night and you replay things, but you replay whether you win or lose. You replay the game regardless, right. But losing's rougher.
Coach, it's been a real pleasure having you here, and I know I speak for everybody when I thank you for all you've done for Southern Miss. And here's the truth, Coach. The numbers don't lie, Kelly. It just hadn't been the same since you left. We're hoping it gets back, but it hadn't been the same since you left.
Well, guys, I appreciate you having me. It's an honor. It's been an honor. I love Southern Miss, and I love all – I just am so thankful that for all the players and all the alumni. I appreciate everything. Much love.
Coach Jay Hobson, everybody. Great pleasure having you here, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, many thanks to Jay Hobson for coming in. I thought that was just great having him here in the studio, Kelly, and just really good hearing from him. And And like I say, you know, he's here 4 years, 28-23, 20-12 in the conference, 3 bowl games and 4 winning seasons.
And in my opinion, and again, that's what I want to say, in my opinion, he had a lot against him right. that he could have easily just blasted everybody, but that's right. just not him.
And we didn't bring it up, but I think not only did his dad die the last year, but as I recall, his in-laws were killed in a car accident.
Maybe that's what I was thinking about.
That's just almost
But, you know, on the field, and even me, I would say, I don't think, you know, he was sitting here talking about we were always 1 win away, and that is very true. But, man, like, they were there with Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky.
They were, weren't they?
And I know those programs aren't quite where they – actually, they're doing much better than what they used to be. But
no, you made a great point.
I mean, he was in there for – like, they were always going to be competitive.
No question.
And probably even myself don't give him enough credit for that, but that's 100% true. Yeah. And, I mean, imagine if he just gets one of those wins, right?
No question. Hey, 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. I'm sure Kelly's been down there while Andrew and I were gone. Am I right, Kelly?
Trivia last Wednesday night. You missed it all.
It's always fun at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Also, want to say hello to our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right. Talked the first half hour about football, obviously, with Coach Hobson. By the way, we should point out that he was at Alcorn 3 years and won 2 SWAC championships. So, I mean, he's just got a record of winning. But
Dion went on to Colorado.
Yeah, exactly.
So he coached Alcorn, Southern Miss, Mississippi State.
Yeah. How about this? Delta State, LSU, Florida, Marshall, Southern Miss, Ole Miss, Michigan, Memphis, Alcorn, South Alabama.
That's a pretty good resume, isn't it?
Pretty good resume. All right. Let's update the draft board. I know one came off today. Andrew, kind of fill us all in.
Well, the draft is currently in the 10th round. There are, I kind of would say, some surprises. Well, I think locally, and the big story in the Hattiesburg area, Purvis native JoJo Parker goes number 8 overall. The Toronto Blue Jays picked him last night. Perhaps that's probably the talk of Mississippi, to be quite honest. And then, of course, there are 3 Golden Eagles who have been picked. J.B. Middleton was 45, if I got it right. Give me 1 second. 45 overall to the Colorado Rockies. That his slot value is $2.17 million, so he'll have some nice change in his pocket in the coming days. And then Jake Cook, who has probably been one of the most interesting MLB draft picks or guys to skyrocket, probably other than JoJo Parker. He was picked in the 3rd round, 81st overall. He'll have a draft slot value of $993,000. And then so far, it's day 2 now, so the first day 1 is 1 to 3. And Nick Monastir was the first Golden Eagle, really, to kind of start the day out. He was picked in the 4th round by the Houston Astros at number 126 overall. He's going to get just under $600,000 in his slot value.
So you've got 2 players in the first 3 rounds and 3 players in the first 4, correct?
3 Southern Miss players.
That's what I mean. Yes. So that's pretty good.
4 and then 4 Hattiesburg area Correct. Players. Yeah.
All right. A name that everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen, obviously, is Kobe Allen.
I think Kobe Allen, yeah, that's probably the big one. I think we're going to go through a couple more rounds, but you never know. I didn't think Nick Monastir was going to get taken in the 4th. I was a little surprised by that. I thought he was going to be in the neighborhood of 7 or 8, maybe 9. So that surprised me. I didn't think his stock was – I knew it was good. I didn't know it was that high. Mm-hmm. At this point, it's the waiting game is going to kind of happen. And kind of what happens when they start to get past the 10th round, which is where we're at now, the slot values cease. And then it's kind of like a little undrafted free agency. And to give context, so, you know, I was reading off what the numbers were in the first couple rounds. It now drops off to $193,000 instead of – $2 million, right? So, and as they get further into this draft, and we've seen this here in Hattiesburg and Southern Miss players getting drafted, they start to look for guys who just have a lot of innings, who have proven themselves, and that's when you run into the Kobe Allen territory. So probably, I would say after the 10th round is true Kobe Allen watch, but I think him, Landon Payne,
heard Tucker Stockman might have some interest too. So that's another one we got to watch for.
So you, I said earlier you thought Colby Allen was a 50-50 prospect. Do you feel that way now?
I mean, if it's me, I'm going to play the money game. That's just me with the way NIL and rev sharing is, because once you get past a certain point in the draft, I mean, these colleges can match, if not exceed that. That's where my brain would be. Of course, I'm not a wealthy person, so, you know, but if you, you know, obviously his life dream is to play pro ball. I don't know. And I know the sales pitch, if you're Southern Miss, is, you know, Hunter Stanley is going to be the perfect example. He was their closer. COVID kind of helped out with this. They turned him into the Friday night guy, and his draft stock shot up immensely. And he's, I think, might either be in double or triple A, but he's knocking on the door of pro ball for the Indians right now.
I'm not at all surprised that Monastir went that high. I've always been a lot higher, I think, on Monastir than a lot of other people, just because of his pure athleticism. There isn't anything that guy, and he could play the outfield. He could play anywhere.
That's a big part of it. Like, yeah, he had a great year at the plate this year and showed off power, but people kind of forget the year before he was playing center, third, second, short. I think he played first for like one inning. Like, I mean, they can do a lot of different things with him. That's why, like, you see so many high school shortstops get drafted, because they like the idea that they can move them around. That's kind of the case with Monastir.
And I think that does go, that's underrated lots of times, is their athleticism that they can do that. There's lots of different ways to build a team, but one of the ways I'm going to build a team is through guys that are athletic like that, that can move around and use the whole roster. I think A.J. Hinch with the Tigers is now kind of bringing it more into vogue, to where, look, the guys that are sitting on the bench are making $4 and $5 million. Let's use them too. So let's use 17, 18 guys a game. Let's work the matchups. And guys like Monastir, I'm not surprised at all that he went that high.
There is one name that non-Southern Miss related, but Jacob Parker, twin brother of JoJo, has yet to be taken. And that is kind of a surprise to me. I think he was hoping for, obviously he was hoping for like a first round or something like that. But I thought best case scenario for him was second, third. I thought realistically 4, 5, 6. We're now on 10, and I feel for the kid, because he's a great guy, and I'm sure this kind of stings. But
the three guys from Southern Miss, Andrew, that have gone, they were pretty much written off anyway.
Yeah,
the staff
was
kind of.
Jay Cook confirmed to me that he's signing, so that's a guarantee. I would be surprised if JB Middleton walked away. And then I actually I haven't spoken to him about it, just kind of setting things up. But I'm supposed to talk to Nick Monastir tomorrow at some point. Well, so well, get
north
the
of $2 million, I mean, you can't expect JB Middleton to walk away from $2 million.
But there are a lot of people, not those kind of numbers, but like Andrew was talking, these later draft picks. People go, why in the world would a kid who's only the slot position, you know, $100,000? To me, lots of times, the money is secondary to the kids. It's just the ability to go now. Because there have been players, doesn't happen often, but there have been players who have gone back to their college the next year, suffered an injury, and then didn't get drafted at all. So it's all kind of a crapshoot, but I think in this case, bird in the hands, worth two in the bush.
Yeah, I think it's also the idea of you're going to get paid to play baseball for a living for at least 3 or 4 years, right? Like, and you're going to get a chance. Like, you're not going to get – and actually, JoJo Parker said this best. Just because I'm drafted doesn't mean I'm going to the show right away. Like, you have to work for it. But, you know, it's there. Like, it's all on you at that point. And, you know, in college, you're hoping for the best that you can get to this point, right? So, yeah, it's somewhat counterintuitive to come back if this is your goal.
But the Southern Miss guys that have not been taken yet, Andrew, that you anticipate still might get taken, is Southern Miss in the position, NIL-wise and so on, to be able to battle to keep those guys?
NIL-wise, they have the money to keep them.
Okay.
I think at 10 and below, they could keep probably have the funds to do so. Now, whether they want to go off and do whatever, sure. But yeah, money wise, they're going to be right there with them. And I know for a fact, I won't say who, but they're in years past, there have been guys who have been taken higher and they have matched certain teams. So having said that, yeah, they've got the funds to do it, which is tip of the cap to the top collective.
All right, we'll hear about Colby Allen, and anybody else on the roster, we'll certainly let everybody know. Be Quick celebrating their 60th anniversary with the giveaway. Stop by the Be Quick Shell Station at the corner of 98 and Hegwood Road near Optimus Park. Receive a Buffalo decal, place it on the back of your vehicle. If you're spotted, and they have spotters all over town, you could win something really nice like a Saints football experience, a Mossy Oak shopping spree, a Royal Caribbean cruise for four, or a Biloxi offshore fishing trip. It's all at Be Quick, proud supporters of Southern Miss. And don't forget about the Pine Belt News. Andrew's Back is your source for news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area. You can also explore Signature Magazine, just $35 a year, $55 annually if you live outside of Forest and Lamar counties. Follow the Pine Belt News on all social media platforms. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, DBAT sponsors this final segment of the program on Hardy Street. Great place for baseball and softball training. Great place for summer camps. And with the holidays, I hate to say it, around the corner, or a great place for holiday shopping when we... But let's get on through the summer.
Holidays around the corner.
Yeah, sort of, kind of.
Okay.
Kind of. So Andrew and I are back. Andrew's been overseas, actually. I've been pretty much overseas in Panama City Beach. And Kelly, you just look so happy to see us today. Were you really that lonely, brother?
Hey, when the cat's away, the mice will play.
Oh, and I see.
We had us a big time while you guys were gone.
Now, you had DJ Cujo on while I was gone, and I just wanted to know if he asked about me.
He did.
Did he? Really?
And I'm not joking. He absolutely did. He said, oh, man, I hate that Mr. Bob isn't here. He said, I wanted to put his mind at ease that he is going to be as entertained as anyone at Southern Miss football this fall.
I saw his picture, and as I told you, I saw him at a wedding not too long ago, and he just was so appropriately dressed and knew the room. And he's a smart young man, and I have every confidence he'll do a good job.
And I gave him some Frank Zappa requests.
Good, that'd be great to hear DJ Cujo.
You know, there are people listening to this who don't know who that is.
Who Frank Zappa is?
No.
Well, you can get on your thing there.
I feel sorry for them.
You can Google that stuff now, right?
Well, DJ Cujo playing Dirty Love. I cannot wait to hear that.
Or the slime.
Oh, don't eat the yellow snow. And where the Huskies go, go, go.
Andrew, are you with us?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Hey, it looks like what was rumored might be coming true, that Louisiana Tech may indeed be headed to the Sun Belt.
Well, they had their meeting this morning, which was reported by multiple outlets. It's reported now that the ADs passed it, the execs passed it. So yeah, hello Bulldogs. And you know, like, this is something that just didn't just happen. I don't think people realize, like, this has been going on for like 8 months. Just the talk and the rumors. I mean, once Texas State kind of put it out there, we want to be in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
the Sun Belt has been working on Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky and a couple other options for months on end.
But don't you get the impression Tech was the first choice?
I think, and I don't know any way to know this, but I think it's only fair that the Sun Belt West teams have somewhat of a say, because the idea of this league is local rivalries and it's cheap to travel. Mm-hmm. Louisiana Tech checks those boxes. Now, if we want to talk about building awareness of the brand, which I know what the Sun Belt East teams were, or at least the Sun Belt East fans were advocating for, Western Kentucky checked more of those boxes. So, I mean, it's kind of a coin of two sides. I don't think Louisiana Tech hurts the league in any way. And let's be honest, there's probably going to be more expansion when this is all said and done.
And, so. it brings another solid baseball program into the league.
Yeah, but most of these teams don't care about that. They're all football and basketball. That's where the money's at.
Yeah, but that's where they're best. The league is best at baseball.
Sure, and they don't do a great job of embracing it either.
No, they really don't. And like no media day, as an example.
Yeah. One of the things that Commissioner Keith Gill will be talking about at media day in New Orleans, which is a week from tomorrow. It's actually day one of a two-day event in New Orleans.
Fun fact, I thought it was tomorrow, and I was ready to go to New Orleans, and then Kelly told me.
Yeah, no, it's a week from tomorrow and a week from Wednesday. But Keith Gill will now also be talking about how he is on the D1 basketball selection committee.
Yeah.
That can't hurt, right?
No.
But you have to wonder, how do you get a gig like that when your league has been so poor?
Well, I mean, it's about parity, right? That's how these committees are, quote unquote, set up. We don't really get to see it often, but yeah, sure.
I know that La Tech is going to be a question. He's going to be asked a lot.
I'm actually sitting down with him. I have a list of questions. I was going to ask about Montgomery, La Tech, kind of the state of basketball in the conference.
And what you can do to improve it.
Yeah.
But I thought what Jay Hobson was saying earlier is that when he talked, I think he used the analogy of the Grand Canyon to where the power conferences with those additional roster spots now, it's only reasonable to assume that G5 players are going to be going up to fill those roster spots, which reasonably you would think then that the group of five competition is not, that the overall quality of the games are not going to be as good because you're using lesser talent generally.
Possibly. I think also, and it's hard to say because it's football, but you know, not just because they have 105 scholarships available doesn't mean they're going to be using them all either, because there's schools that, like, I would be surprised if like a school like ULM is using them all because they don't have the money. So I think that's going to be something else to be interesting, although all these schools are devoting the bulk of their rev share money to football. But I mean, that's, you know, kind of a two-pronged thing. So I think that's something else people have to remember.
But you talk to people at South Al, and they'll say, you notice the baseball program has struggled there the last couple of years compared to what they're used to. And a lot of the fans down there will say, because a lot of the revenues have been redirected to the football pile and has taken away from baseball, which has hurt that program a little bit.
Real quick, before we run out of time, yay or nay, do we like Louisiana Tech in it or not? Just yes or no.
I'm a yes. Kelly?
I'm a no.
No?
I'm indifferent.
Who would you have preferred?
Well, nobody would come from the AAC, but I wanted UAB, but they're not going to leave where they are. So.
All right, we'll have more on that and keep you up to date on the Kobe Allen watch. Glad to have the whole crew back. Glad you tuned in. Thank you. Southern Miss.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at trustcarehealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.